Good morning, RCC. It's going to take me a minute to get set up. And I just want to tell you guys, as often happens to me, I prepare, but God provides. In the last 2 minutes, he gave me something to add to the message. And so I wasn't prepared for this. So you guys bear with me. But first, I just want to say greetings to you all, my brothers and my sisters. It is a blessing to be here. And I have to tell you, it's an honor to be invited back, because sometimes we bring in people and we go, eh, that was nice. So I'm thankful to have been invited back. It is only because of the Holy Spirit, and I recognize that. I give honor to God, who is the head of my life. And, you know, today is one of those days. It's always a special day when I come to RCC, but today is a really special day. Change is something that I enjoy. Now, I know a lot of people don't like change, okay? But I enjoy change. That change that occurs from winter to spring delights me. And then when summer and its heat and thunderstorms comes to an end, and we see the trees turning colors and fall is coming and my birthday is coming, I get really excited. So I like change in nature, but I also appreciate and value change in leadership and organizations. And so I was here to witness Pastor Sam coming in. And I'm thankful today to have been able to even lay my eyes on one of the founding elders of RCC. And I don't know where he went. I thank you for the time that you have served. You may not serve as an elder going forward, but you will be serving. Right, church? Okay, I'm going to get logged in, and I had a whole bunch to say, but I've learned, you know, step aside, Billy, and let the Holy Spirit do its work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this season, and we thank you for this opportunity to bring forth your word. Lord, use me, use your word, and Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that someone will leave this place today with renewed hope that they did not have when they came in. It is in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, that I pray. Amen. So my preparation and intent was to talk about being anchored in hope, hope, hope. And I'm going to talk about that because I've worked really hard on it. We're going to look at a number of scriptures, but the anchoring scripture is Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And no, I don't speak Korean, nor do I write it, but ChatGPT does. And for the young people, I just want to let you know, there are so many things that we have access to, and when used in the right way and to the glory of God, okay, it is an honorable thing. So while I was just sitting there and listening to everything that was going on. And then Audrey got up to speak. My heart started to flutter a little. Audrey and I worked together for a number of years when she was a student at Wheaton. And then God gave me this other scripture. Y'all, I have been through at least 12 scriptures dealing with storms, dealing with hope. And then he gave me this one, and I'm like, oh, I'm not ready for that one. But since today I'm going to be speaking to you guys about something we all need, that is hope, I want to first look at what causes us to lose hope. And I didn't intend to go there. I wish, you know, I had asked the AV people if I had known God wanted to, you know, change course, which he will do that in your life. He will change your course. I would have asked them to play me some storm background. But first, I'm going to look at Acts, the 27th chapter. And if you have your Bibles, or if you just want to make note of it, this has the heading, the storm. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it, and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Corda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. We were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, fearing they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. I don't know who that was for, but if you have given up all hope, I am here to bring you a message from God. We're going to look at three things: the storms in our lives, the anchor, and Jesus, our living hope, who holds us steady when the storms of life rage. Perhaps you don't talk about the storms that God has brought you through. My husband is one of those people who doesn't share a testimony. He's 360 degrees more introverted than me, okay? I think that's right. In other words, I'm not introverted, but he is. But this man has been through 16 years of stormy weather. In 2009, he was preparing to have hip replacement surgery, and he was all excited that he was no longer going to have problems with his hips. So he went in for the pre-op, and oddly, they found traces of blood in his urine. At that time, the urologist, I guess, said, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to have to intervene. We're about to change course. We need to do some testing. We need to see what's going on in the kidneys. before you can be cleared to have this hip replacement surgery. So they found a growth in his right kidney and two in the left. He had one kidney surgery, and then he had a second kidney surgery about 6 weeks later. 6 weeks after that, he had his first hip replacement surgery. And 6 weeks after that, he had the second. So he had four surgeries in about 6 months, less than 6 months, actually. That wasn't a storm. Okay? That was a shower. You know, a nice shower. Because 2 years later, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. That wasn't a storm. That was a shower. 3 years later, maybe two, three, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. It started raining real hard. I heard thunder. They removed a portion of his lung. Now, at this point, this man has simply had stuff removed from his body. He had not had any type of treatment, if you will, no radiation, no chemotherapy, okay? A couple of years later, the kidney cancer returned. And when they went in to, again, I think it was called do an ablation this time, they went through the bladder and they found cancer in the bladder. So now I'm like, it's really raining hard. A few years later, maybe three, now all of this is happening like, okay, you breathe, you come up for air, you catch, you know. Now, this man, maybe 3 years ago, November, I think, he says to me when I'm cooking, oh, you're about to run out of Frenching juice. Do y'all know what that is? I'm in the kitchen. I'm getting ready to fry some pork chops. Pouring the Crisco in the pan. And I said, what? What are you talking about? And he said, Frenching juice. Indignant. I was like, oh, ho, 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 not today, Satan. When I finally convinced him that we needed to go to the emergency room, we went and they began to do all kind of scans. And the doctor, the emergency room attending physician, came in and said, I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, but there is a golf ball sized tumor in his brain. It was thundering. It was lightning. I could hear, literally, I could hear the thunder roll. Let me just say, they were able to remove the tumor. It went to the lab. It came back. It was not brain cancer. It was lung cancer that had metastasized to the brain, and because of that, he was eligible for immunotherapy. It was a metastasis, okay? So here we are. You know, I have frequent flyer miles at Central DuPage Northwestern Hospital. I usually just go, I take my pillow, my own blanket. Even during COVID, I was there. They said, you can't stay. I was like, he really doesn't understand what you're saying. I am his advocate. Remember that word, okay? So I will stay. Thank you. That was when, that was, if it's been 2009 all the way to 2025, that's 16 years. So this happened maybe 3 years ago. So about 13 years of some sprinkles, some showers, and then finally a serious, serious thunderstorm. And I didn't intend to tell that story because my husband is pretty private. But somebody's got to share that testimony. Somebody here may be in a storm. Our storms can be personal trials. They can be loss. They can be uncertainty about our future, broken relationships, and even health issues. But John 16:33, I'm back on script now, tells us, in this world, we will have trouble. Will. Not maybe. Not might. In this world, we will have trouble. But look here. Take heart. Jesus tells us, I have overcome the world. It is Jesus, the Christ, that offers us peace in the middle of turbulence. Hope begins with knowing that the storms don't have the last word. So I, you know, changed courses, and I probably will not have time to go through all that I had prepared for you, but that was something that God wanted you to hear, okay? We're going to talk about the anchor of hope. You see this? Isn't this cool? It's amazing what you can get on Amazon. Okay, I am a person who really likes symbols, okay? I have a Pandora bracelet that has lots of charms, and one is a dangle charm that has a heart, an anchor, and a cross. And they represent to me faith, hope, and love. A lot of you perhaps have something that you treasure that represents something. We wear crosses, right? To represent Jesus, to represent our faith. So I want you to look at this anchor and remember Hebrews 6:19. We have this anchor as a representation today of hope. Hope that is firm and secure. An anchor holds a ship steady when the winds blow. And hope in Christ keeps our souls from drifting in fear, doubt, or despair. A ship's crew may be told by the captain to drop anchor. What does that really mean, drop anchor? It's a signal that it's time to hold, to be steadied, and the crew can rest knowing that the ship won't drift aimlessly. It signals readiness and trust. The anchor is spiritual. And again, Hebrews 6:19 emphasizes that our anchor is already lodged where? Who knows where? Behind the veil. In the very presence of God, where Jesus has gone as our forerunner. And because Jesus has already gone there, please know it's not about our ability to withstand the storm, but it's about where our anchor is dropped, where it's set in Christ, who can't be moved. Church, I ask you today, fix your hope in him. You won't drift. Don't drop your anchor in your circumstances, nor in your own strength, but in the one who holds the future. I'm so glad this isn't heavy. I have a song that I wish if I could sing, I'd sing it to you, but God didn't give me that gift. He gave me a lot of gifts. Can we praise him? Sense of humor. The name of the song, and you guys who are YouTubers and you have playlists, I want you to listen to this sometime. It's by a man named Douglas Miller. And the name of the song is My Soul's Been Anchored in the Lord. In other words, my soul has been anchored in the Lord, okay? And in this song, he talks about the storm coming, right? And then he repeats, my soul's been anchored in the Lord. But the line, the one sentence in that song that just takes me out says, but if the storms don't cease, and if the wind keeps blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. We can have hope. Romans 5, 3 through 5 talks about hope without shame. Don't be ashamed that you have hope. Hope is for the future. Don't be ashamed of that. Romans 5, 3 through 5. I'm going to read this real quickly, and we're going to do three other scriptures. You guys keep, let me know my time. Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Over those 16 years, I developed a lot of character, a whole lot of character. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Our hope is in God. Psalm 42:11. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for yet will I praise him, said David, my Savior and my God. Then there's this living hope, okay? 1 Peter 1 through 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When you look at the anchor, you may not see what I see. Okay, I was going to tell y'all about the anatomy of the anchor, you know, all different parts, doesn't matter. You see that cross? I see it. Jesus is our living hope. And that's where we need to drop anchor. Christ is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27 tells us, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, that's us, all of us who are not Jewish, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now remember why you can have hope. Lamentations 3:21 to 23 tells us, yet this I called to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's a call to remember You've been through some storms. If he brought you through, he'll bring you through again. You may not talk about him. Or, like some of us, you may have spent years in therapy talking about those storms. You know, stormy childhood, stormy marriage, stormy loss of a child. Remember, call to mind, and therefore regain your hope. To live in hope, to live anchored in hope. I thought about this when they were doing the VIP, right? First is the P, pray. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Secondly, stay in the word. Stay in the word. And then, what's the C in RCC, the first C? Community. Community. Surround yourselves with others who remind you of hope. I understand that you guys had Dr. Theon Hill speak last Sunday. And when I saw your Instagram post, I was kind of scared. I was like, this man has a PhD in communications rhetoric. And y'all want me to come speak the week after him. And I think he spoke on faith. And a lot of people get confused when we think of these two things, faith and hope. So I'm going to run this down real quick. Distinguishing hope and faith. Faith is believing and trusting in God's character and in God's promises. It is that assurance that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. Now, I love Hebrews 11:1. That's when I have to go back to the, you know, King James Version that I was raised on. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is believing and trusting God's character and his promises, and then hope is forward-looking. It's forward-looking confidence that God's promises will be fulfilled. He will bring you through. It is the expectation of future good grounded in God's faithfulness. Faith believes that God can. This is important. Y'all better write this down. Faith believes that God can, and hope expects that he will. So we need both, okay? Just like grace and mercy. I love those companions. There's faith and hope. Faith is substance. Hope is looking forward. Faith is the hand that reaches out and takes hold of God's promises for today. So faith without hope loses its direction. Hope is the anchor that keeps us steady as we wait for the promise to be fulfilled. Hope without faith loses its foundation. So together, faith and hope keep us anchored in Christ. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Brothers and sisters, you can't stop the storms. Our hope is alive, though, because Christ is alive. And Romans 15:13 tells us, as we go into close, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Drop anchor in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you for being our anchor. When the storms come in our lives, we trust in you because you are our anchor. Our hope that you will calm the storm and that the sun, S-O-N, will shine. May we go in peace with our soul anchored in the Lord and our hearts overflowing with hope. It is in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, who has gone before us beyond the veil. Be with us henceforth now and forevermore. Amen.